I know that the Messiah is coming. I am he who is speaking to you now. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is a spin doctor? Well, we usually, don't we, take it to mean someone who adapts a story for public consumption in the media for some particular purpose, or for a twisted purpose. But every story is a spun story. Every story is told from someone's point of view. The gospel writers can fairly be called spin doctors. Perhaps they might be called today influencers. And St. John is the biggest influence of all. His spin is always to bring the truth about Jesus to the attention of his readers. If you want to know exactly what his spin philosophy was, it's in St. John's Gospel. He said, "These things are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." That spin is nowhere clearer than in today's very long gospel about Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman. Another very brief encounter was made long ago into a very old but still wonderful film. If you're old like me, you might remember it, with Trevor Howard and Celia Johnson. Brief Encounter was the film. It was very poignant and sad. The story of brief, unfulfilled love and parting. But this brief encounter between a man and a woman is very different. Its outcome is life-giving, permanent change. Jesus meets a woman at a well and asks her for a drink of water. As a result of the conversation, she's convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, and she rushes off to tell her friends. It's in the detail of this wonderful story that Jesus shows what a marvelous person he is. I want to home in for a moment or two just on four of the many layered features of this story that John packs in. The woman's background, the conversation they had, what Jesus says about himself, and what the woman does at the end of the story. The setting for this story is very surprising. Jesus was on a long 3-day journey north on foot. It's in the heat of the summer. The woman he encounters is not Jewish like he is. She's a Samaritan. Conflict in the Middle East is not just the product of our age. It has a very long history. Jews and Samaritans were once one people. Together, they made up the 12 tribes of Israel. But in the New Testament times, they'd become very suspicious cousins. Perhaps sadly, like Muslims and Christians are so often today, with the relationship sometimes sadly even approaching hatred. One of the purposes of the story of the Good Samaritan in St. Luke's Gospel is to make the point that Jesus' message is for all people. The same points being made here in this story, and the setting is equally dramatic. Let's go there for a moment in our mind's eye. The village of Sychar lies right under the Samaritan's holiest place, Mount Geranium. It's shimmering in the heat of the midday sun. Jesus sits down to have a rest. He's very thirsty after a dull, hard and dusty morning's walk. The Samaritans are outsiders. Jews and Samaritans don't talk to each other. So Jesus is right out of order here in talking to any Samaritan. But his offense is greater still. It's a Samaritan woman he's speaking to, and asks for a drink. Very unusual, and she knows it. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? What the heck do you think you're doing? Well, that's quite enough for one sermon, isn't it? Jesus is interested on those on the edge, those on the outside. It's a powerful message. It speaks powerfully to us this morning. Nobody, nobody is outside God's love. But that's only the start. Second, the story becomes quite electric in the exchange. This woman comes alive in a quite remarkable way. I hear almost teasing banter in the conversation that follows. How come you're asking me to get you water? Jesus replies that if she knew to whom she was speaking, he would give her a gift much greater than water from the well. It would be the water of life. Do I hear across 2,000 years a faint possibility that this woman, don't forget she's had five husbands and now got a boyfriend, is just trying a little bit to flirt? She's clearly no idea what Jesus is talking about. Give me some of that and it will save me the drudgery of coming here every day to fill my water pot. Jesus' insight into her character and her lifestyle is immediately, go and fetch your husband. I don't have one. No, too right you don't, says Jesus. You've already gone through five, and now you're on to a live-in boyfriend. But then the exchange goes much deeper, much, much deeper. Perhaps the scales were beginning to drop from her eyes, and she suddenly sees something of the greatness of the man who's standing in front of her. Are you the one we've all been looking for? Are you the prophet? Are you the Messiah? I am he, says Jesus. I am the one who's speaking to you now. This is clearly a moment of instant recognition, of disclosure. There's the woman herself. There's the conversation she has with Jesus. And then there are the things that he says. Israel, Syria, and Jordan are countries where water is scarce. It's always been scarce. The rich have plenty, and the poor very often have almost nothing. Water, clean water, is so valuable, so precious. When Jesus speaks of giving living water that will never fail, the Christians, for whom this book was first written, knew exactly what he was talking about. It surely was nothing less than the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus still offers that gift to you and to me today. Jesus said so much more in this passage about true worship, that he is God's chosen one, the Messiah. But I want finally to concentrate for a moment on what happened to the woman. Her brief encounter doesn't end in despair and emptiness. Her life is turned round. She rushes back to the town. She tells her friends. That makes her, doesn't it, the very first Christian missionary. And her message is so simple. I'd like you to meet Jesus. Come and meet the man who's just told me everything I ever knew. The Jesus waiting that day by the well is still waiting for all of us this morning. He renews his invitation to meet him and be changed. Perhaps for the first time, perhaps for the 100th time, in meeting and to drink of the water of life that Jesus offers you and me. And where is he? He's right here. We meet him in prayer, in Bible study, in the sacraments, but perhaps most of all, in other people. We are the body of Christ. We meet Jesus in those who are with us here this morning. I know that the Messiah is coming. I am he. I'm the one who's speaking to you now.
Let us pray. Holy God, give us eyes to recognize, as Jesus did at Jacob's well, the true spiritual thirst in all the people around us and the need of our Saviour Jesus, who only can fulfill that thirst. Help us to respond to your calling through our worship, our character, our outreach, and our social activities. We ask you to hear our prayers now for the church, the world, and people in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for your church throughout our troubled world, and particularly for those Christians who are persecuted because of their love and witness for you. We pray for your strength and guidance for the leaders of all Christian churches, be that in the Harrow area, this parish, the UK, and indeed across the world, particularly during these difficult times. We pray for our parish of St. Andrew and ask for your blessing on our Lent course, that people will be truly blessed as they draw close to you, enjoy fellowship in their house groups, and you reveal more of yourself to them. We thank you that everyone makes a unique contribution. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we thank you for this beautiful world, now showing signs of spring in this country. We thank you for the wonder of the seasons, and in spring we have so much more to look forward to, with the flowers, the blossom, and the days getting warmer and longer, for summer holidays and more. We thank you that even in the winter, you have made provision for life to burst forth. We reflect on the seasons in our life, and however dark and cold it may seem, you have a wonderful season ahead for all of us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that all countries which are suffering terrible violence and injustice will in due course and soon find peace and reconciliation and healing. We pray for all who offer their services in the leadership of the nations, that they may uphold what is right and good and seek wisdom from wise counsel and from you. We pray for peace. Lord, we know that in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars, but you said, blessed are the peacemakers, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know there's everlasting peace and love in heaven. We pray that will be the same here, thinking especially of the ongoing war and slaughter in Ukraine, and this out-of-the-blue war with Iran. Plus, we pray for peace in all places where there's violence, war, and terrorism. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we see in the Samaritan woman someone who had experienced multiple relationships, divorce, and breakups. We pray for those we know within our families or communities who are coping with difficult or changing relationships. We pray for the children caught in the family breakdowns, with all the worry and upset that it might bring to young and unprepared lives, and for their parents who struggle to make the right choices for those they love. Be close to them, we pray. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, we pray for all who bear the burdens of pain, illness, worry, or depression. We pray for those whose illness stems from anxiety. We pray that they may have an awareness of your presence and receive your peace and an understanding that you are bearing those burdens with them and always working towards their healing and wholeness, we bring before you all we personally know who need a touch from you. And Lord, we pray for those in the Starlink. We pray for Earl Adams, Pam and Fred Archer, Elizabeth Bellow, Daryl Campbell, Rosemary Cox, Malcolm, George, Joyce Nicolay, Sue Nichols, Pam Story, Martin Vowles, Clyde Williams, Callum Williams and Angela Sadurian. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we commend into your hands those who've died, either recently or remembered at this time of year. You gave them breath and loved them through their journey of life. Please provide your peace and comfort to all who mourn the loss of loved ones. And thank you for the promise of eternal life for all those who put their trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. Remember particularly at this time, whose anniversaries fall just now, George Udo, Emily Hastings, Eileen Fowler, Victor Falconer, and Michael Sage. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, in so many ways you have taught us that you alone can be trusted, even when we do not feel close to you, when there is a sudden storm in our lives and it appears that the boat is about to sink. Help us to remember this fact, that you never leave us or forsake us, and be aware of your loving presence as we go from this time of worship and return to our everyday lives. Help us to walk obediently in the light of your truth in all that we do and every day of this week ahead. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.